Can we give the Lord just a hand clap of praise? Father, you can do in 5 minutes what psychiatrists can't do in a lifetime. You can do in one move what medicine cannot do. You are God Almighty. There is none to be compared to you. We honor you and glorify you. As we do that, you heal us and you deliver us. As we have gathered in your name today, you've promised that you're in the midst. And I thank you. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I thank you. Amen and amen. This morning, I can just go home now. I'm good, so. But I do have a few minutes to kill, if that's all right with you. I'm glad we kind of got that. God dealt with some issues before we begin. Because what I want to deal with is a little step beyond that. Here's the reason why God had to deal with those particular things, those spirits in your life, before I go into what I need to say. If you'll turn in your Bibles with me, let's go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, verse 7 and 9 of chapter 16. Verses 7 through 9, chapter 16. I want to speak today on God is watching. God is watching. When I was young, that was a phrase used all the time. God is watching. Now, when I say that, God is watching, what does that give you a feeling of? Sam, when I say, God is watching, Sam, what do you think?
He sees my every move. He knows when I'm doing right, when I'm doing wrong. He understands.
So he's watching me, sees when I'm doing right, when I'm doing wrong. God is watching me. From the time we're a kid, that has a kind of a negative connotation to it. You know, we tell our children, now you better not act up while I'm gone. Why? Because Santa Claus is watching. Santa Claus is watching. Or, you know, I see things even when you don't think I see them. Whenever we use that phrase growing up, God is watching us and God sees us, we always take it from a, oh man, he's going to catch me doing something, catch me out of line. He sees the good, Sam, but he also sees the bad. He's watching me. He's looking at me. He's seeing me go through life. But I want to show you as I grew up how to see that from a different perspective. One of the things that helped me the most growing up was when I was able to change my philosophy on God watching me or God seeing me. Let me show you what I mean. In verse 7, we begin, and at that time, Ananias, the seer, came unto Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore the host of the king of Syria escaped out of your hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host? And with very many chariots and horsemen, yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. Notice what he says here. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Look at the person beside you. Say, God is watching. God is watching. But he says, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the earth, seeing your good and your bad. Isn't that what he says? The eyes of the Lord go to and fro, and he keeps up with what you've been naughty or nice. I want to see you this morning if I can help change some of the natural philosophy we have in our mind because of the way we were raised. Nothing wrong with that. Mom had to use different things to say, look, I'm keeping my eyes on you. I'm going to be watching you. You better know that. And that's nothing wrong with that. But I want you to realize what we've done is we've translated that into God, and we think God is like mom or dad or our boss or whoever, and he's watching us with the same intent. He's watching us with a mindset that, you know what? I'm watching you, and I've got my eyes on you, and if you get out of line or anything, I'm going to know it. But that's not God. God says, I do. I go to and fro throughout the earth. My eyes go to and fro, traveling the earth. But what am I doing when I'm looking? Here's what he says. To show myself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward me. Herein thou hast done foolishly, Asa. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. This mindset that Asa put himself into, this place that Asa arrives at, is not an accident. Let me see if I can backtrack a little bit and give you a little bit of story here before we go into what I want to try to pinpoint. If we skip back a couple chapters, go back to chapter 14 and verse 11 with me. Chapter 14, verse 11. Asa is in a bad situation. He is the king of Judah. He is in a bad predicament. There's a whole army that has come against him, and they are enormous, thousands of thousands and chariots, and he is in a no-win situation. What would you do as king? When you didn't have any other way to get out, when you didn't have no other way to fight, you knew you couldn't beat this army. Well, here's what Asa does. And Asa cried unto the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether there be many or whether or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against us. He has a mindset that, God, we're going out and fighting, but we're not doing it on our own. We're doing this because we believe you can do anything. We believe anything is possible with you. And so therefore, we're going out and we're going to fight and we're trusting in you and depending on you, and we're leaning on you. You know what's happening? God gets in the middle of this. He creates a great victory, and they defeat this enormous army. You would think, man, that right there is something you can build your life on. And Asa does. Asa tears down all the high places nearly, and except for a few. And he takes the temples that have been to other gods, and he's declared that there's going to be worshiping God and God alone. He's done some incredible things. Go with me to chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. And God speaks in the middle of all this life. And here's what he says. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is what? Look at the person beside you and say, the Lord is with you. Don't mix that up. The Lord is with you. While you be... Oh. See, we just like to say the first part and leave the second part out. I forgot that. My bad. The Lord is with you while you be with Him. And if you seek Him, He will be found of. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. It's a simple philosophy with God. God is not going to put Himself in a place He's not going to put himself in a predicament, in a position. He's not going to position himself where if you don't want him, he's going to just roughshod over you and do it anyway. God positions himself to say, I am strong. I am mighty. Just like this morning. The altar call is given. God is strong. God is mighty. God can handle it. But God did not yank one. I didn't see one person drugged down here by an angel. I didn't see one person come down here that we just tied up and said, I know you don't want this, but you're going to get it anyway. No, there has to be a moment in your life where you decide, I am going free. Why? Because He is able. He is almighty. He is strong enough. And I am leaning on Him. I am determining that this is the way I'm going to live. And this is what He tells Asa. He says, Asa, this is all you need to understand about me. My eyes are going to and fro. I am looking for those that I can bless and be a part of. But here's what I need. I need you to surrender to me. I need you to be to the understanding that God can do it. Just like you fought that battle, I need you to fight every battle just like that. I need you to see the enemy's too big, it's too hard, it's too difficult, but with my God, I can do it. And go on in anyway. I need you to live life that way. I need you to live your whole existence with that mindset. The enemy's too big, but I'm going anyway. This problem's too big, but I'm going anyway. The doctor says it can't happen, but I'm believing anyway. I need you in whatever situation or circumstance to establish yourself that yes, the diagnosis is bad, but my God is bigger than any diagnosis that I can come up with. It's not complicated. It's not like I'm trying to reason when I, you know, you need to trust. No, it's impossible, but I believe God. It can't happen, but I believe God. Every time we live life in this way, we attract the vision of God. We attract God's view. God says, my eyes go to and fro. That's who I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody that says, I believe in God. And everybody's laughing at them. It's a Daniel fixing to be thrown in the lion's den. God's eyes catch them. It's a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God's eyes catch them. It's David standing in front of Goliath. And God didn't give him some vision in the night that said, you need to go out and fight him. No, he said, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason to go out? I'm going to go down there. Well, why? Because I believe that if it takes 5 stones, it'll take 5 stones. But I believe that when I leave that battlefield, I'm going to defeat them. Why? Because I'm not coming in my power and my might. I know I can't beat Goliath, but I do know this. His spear and his sword and his shield is no match for the God that I serve. His ability cannot override God's ability. When we get that inside of us, miracles take place. Mighty things happen. But it has to happen from that perspective. I would love to tell you that Asa got it. But skip down with me now back to chapter 16, verse 7. Let's get back to where we are. See, the problem is another army came. And this wasn't some foreign army. This was the army of Israel. This was his other brothers who had started to attack him. And here's what, because Asa was growing, because Asa was getting bigger, people were migrating over into his kingdom from other parts. And they were saying, look, we want to be part of Asa's kingdom. God's blessing him and God is pouring out blessings. The other king decided that he would attack a main roadway that led to Asa's kingdom. And when he did, he built a city right there, was going to build a tower right there. And the whole purpose was it so nobody could pass through. So that if any Israelite said, look, I'm going to go live in Asa's kingdom. Oh, no, you're not. You're going to live on this side of the wall. And Asa didn't know what to do. So here's what he did. He took possessions, valuable possessions, godly possessions. And he went to the king down the road, the Syrian king, and said, look, if I pay you, can me and you be friends? I need help. I can't defeat this enemy, and I need help. If I give you some money, will you be friends with me and you go fight them and kind of attack them? And that's what he does. The Syrian king says, sure, if you're paying me, I'll go attack Israel. He paid him to attack his other enemy, even though Syria was already his enemy. See, it's a difficult thing. I know we're dealing with it right now because it's ironic that we're using the name Syria. Because what are we in the trenches of right now? Well, Syria has a president, Bashar, that we know is sorry as dirt. He gassed his own people. We know how bad he is. But we've got another enemy over here that's causing us some problems. So we're in the betwixt of now giving one enemy something so that we can help defeat. What's the problem with that, Brother Locke? We're no different than Asa. And the problem is this. We've removed God from the solution. See, it's a problem when you start removing God from prayer in schools and you don't want prayer and you don't want anything of godly, because there's going to come times where you need God. And the only problem is if you push God back and you have not made God a part or the head of your life, then when those difficult times comes, here's what you do. You start cutting deals instead of standing on principles. And as a country, right now, we're all confused. Because we're like Asa right here. We know what's right, but look, we need to solve this problem. And Asa does. Asa goes and hires another king to go attack this enemy. But there's only one problem. God's eyes go to and fro throughout the earth looking for those who he can make himself strong. But what did he tell Asa before? He said, Asa, I will always be with you as long as you're... I will always be strong for you, Asa, as long as you're strong for me. But if you withdraw yourself from me, Asa, then understand, I will withdraw myself from you. Sound familiar? Why is there so much crime? Why is there so much killing? Why is there a spirit of life? There's so many bad spirits over all these cities and people can't get along. And we've got all type of racial stuff and problems and this and all this stuff. I'll tell you why. Because if you withdraw yourself from me, I'll withdraw myself from you. No wonder we see the testosterone commercials and the hair commercials and this, because we live in a society where we're trying to fix problems in our own strength and our own ability. We're trying to solve life in our own ways. Well, Brother Lot, does Asa get it together? Verse 7 through 9 says that Hananiah came and told him, Asa, because you did this, it's not going to go good. God's eyes, Asa, go to and fro throughout the earth looking for somebody who will stand up for him. And because you wouldn't do it, God's withdrawing. Now, I would think that at this time, because Asa had seen battles and victories, wouldn't this be the moment where you would think he'd fall on his knees and he would say, God, I've sinned. I'm sorry. I repent for what I've done. I've made... You know what Asa does? He throws Hananiah in the jail. How dare you say that about me? Throws him in jail. He starts to punish others who believe what he's speaking. Hold on now. Let me see. Our biggest battle today in society is what group? Who's causing most of the problems? Well, if you ask society, It's Christians. If we can get God out of everything and all that, the world would be a much better place. That's the reason we need to make sure that's why we have the IRS scandal right now. Anybody that opposes our way, anybody that opposes anything, anybody that's way out there that's standing for it, that's why we're trying to push them out of every single. That's why we don't want them praying at football games. That's why we want to make sure at graduations they can't say prayers. Why? Because we want to push them. They're the problem. That praying over a football game is causing America all its problems. A teacher praying with her class before school starts. That's where all our problems are coming from. And King Asa falls into the same mindset. You know what our problem is? It's all these holy people around here. I've tried to give them a good life, tried to help them, tried to be good to them, and how do they repay me? Telling me I'm not doing good enough, telling me I'm not, well, I tell you what, I've had about all I can take. Throw that one in jail, and anybody that raises up their head, we're going to punish them. Sound familiar? Don't be surprised before long that there's things you can't preach from a pulpit. Don't get mad one day if Pastor Lott does go to jail. Don't get upset with me. Because if 20 years passes like the last 20 years has, there's going to come times where eventually if I say certain things, they will prosecute me. It doesn't scare me. I just don't want you to be upset. I know what's coming because I'm the problem. I mean, I'm the whole reason the world's gone wrong. If they could just get rid of people like me, we'd have more tolerance in the world. Check out Chicago sometime. See how much tolerance is working. But that's us. But don't worry, one day they're going to rise up and they're going to want to get rid of us because we're the problem. The only problem is this. The Bible says that Asa all of a sudden starts having a fungus start growing on his feet. It turns into a disease. His feet are diseased. And it gets worse and worse and worse. And a man who once went to battle and saw a great victory by God now is laying in a bed. The Bible says he called for doctors, he called for this, he called for that. But it makes a specific point when you read verse 10 on. It says Asa did not seek the Lord. Not one time did he seek the Lord. Even though God says, anybody who seeks me will find me. I read you all those scriptures, even things that Asa heard in his own ears. I am a God who wants to be strong. I'm a God who wants to forgive. I'm a God who loves you. But I will be strong to those who want me to be strong. And I will withdraw from those who want me to withdraw. You want it? You got it. Why is that so important, Brother Lott? Because I want to share with you five things real quick. Five points of what God is looking for. If God is looking to and fro to find somebody, then what does that person look like? See, I know God's looking. But He's not watching me whether I've done a few things bad or a few things good or whether I've been naughty or nice. And that's not what God is doing. God is looking to and fro throughout the earth to show Himself strong, to find a way to enter into the world. He's looking for a place to do a miracle. He's looking for a place to make Himself known. He's just got to find the right person so that He can do it through. Would anybody in here like to be that person? Would you like to be the miracle in your house? Would you like to be the miracle at the hospital? Would you like to be the miracle at work? Would you like to be the place and the person that God was able to work through and actually walk into our world and do something great? He does it all the time. But here's the type of people He's looking for. Number one, this is the qualifications. He's looking for a holy people. Now, I know immediately we think, oh, I don't do good enough. Well, that's why He sent Jesus. He didn't say a perfect people. He said a perfect, a holy people. Look at the person beside you and say, you may not be perfect. Just go ahead and tell them. They may not know it yet. Tell them, you may not be perfect, but you can be holy. Here's what the Bible says when you look in Hebrews 12 and 14. This is not an Old Testament scripture. This is a New Testament scripture. I don't want you to think this is something back in the Old Testament that wouldn't fit our day and time. Here's what He says. Follow peace with all men. And what? Holiness. Without which no man shall see. That's not Old Testament. That's not, well, I like Jesus and Jesus likes me and no matter what I do. No. He said, listen, let me explain this to you. You follow peace with all men. Here's the qualifications of being able to see God work through your life. He said, you're going to be a peaceful person with all people. You're going to be somebody that has no agenda. He's not trying to roughshod you. You're just living a peaceful life and you're living it in this manner. You're living it in a holy way. You are a holy person. It means that I have character. It means that as I live by God's Word and I live my life, I'm not trying to earn anything from God. It's just who I am. I am a holy man or a holy woman. Here's what it says in Psalms 24, verses 3 through 5. Who shall ascend unto the holy hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. There are promises in the Bible that you have to believe that are for you. I want God's blessing, but it begins with my holiness. If there's something in my life, that's the reason this morning I had to start with where I started. I had to ask you point blank, is there things in your life that are keeping you from being who you're supposed to be? And if there are, you've got to get rid of them. Why? Because you shut off the blessings. God can't bless you. Let's put it this way. I'd love to grow a great church. I'd love to have a powerful church. I'd love to be able to be somebody that they look back in time and say, man, I mean, they did it right. That church was. But let's put it this way. Let's say I'd like God to do that, and I'd love God to do that. But I still have some things that you know, I wrestle with. You know, when I leave here today, me and Elise are going to run by the Quick Stop and, you know, get a case. Why are you laughing? I'm talking serious. I mean, I want God to bless. I want God to do good. But there's some things that I just am not going to. And I'm going to be upset if God doesn't come through and we don't reach that because I've worked awful hard. See, the first realization I have to come to is this, is that God says, Tim, before I pour out blessings, you have got to raise who you are. Tim, I know you're not perfect. I know you make mistakes, and you need to tell people you make mistakes. Because when they see them, they don't point their finger and say, uh-huh, see? But mistakes are one thing. Making normal blunders because you live in this old flesh, that's one thing. But willfully saying that I'm going to live a certain way, even though God has told me I don't want you living that way, then God says, I will not bless that. I won't bless it. I can't go to casinos. Why? Casinos bad? I don't know if they're bad or not. I've never been in one. I just know this, that I could go in there, I could take $20, lose it, walk out, and never care about going back again. But I know that if somebody saw me in there, then it wouldn't take 10 minutes for it to get all over town. Hey, I saw Pastor Lotto hanging out at the casino. I bet he hangs out there all the time. Well, if he goes, that means I ought to be able to go. See, there's a certain amount of your life that you have to be holy. And it's not because you're trying to earn anything or become anything. It's because God says, I want to bless you. I want to pour out blessings, but you've got to rise to the place where you know that's right. You've got to do it in your life, in the way you live, in the way you talk, what you watch, what you listen to. Because if you're not holy, God says, I can't start the blessing process. If there's bondage, let me break it. If there's sin, remove it. Because you don't want to shut off the blessings that I want to pour out. The blessings that you see a lot of times here, it's because of that. We fight awful hard not to try to build buildings or try. We just try awful hard to keep blessings flowing. That's the key. Somebody asked me last night about, you know, the church and everything. I said, well, God's done all that. And I said, I'm going to tell you something. It's just been a great ride. It's been a great ride. I can't take any credit. It's just been a great. But here's what I can do. I can stop it. I don't have anything to do with what God's going to do and what God wants to do. But what I can do is I can withdraw from God and God will be shut off immediately. Because God has by His Word says to Him, if you shut me off, then I'll walk right out of this building. I don't need a building. I don't need Tim Lott. But as long as Tim, you will walk in holiness before me and you will live your life accordingly, I will flow through you. Enjoy the ride, Tim. Number two is this. You must be a loving people. We read in that scripture where it talks about you must live at peace with all men. That's part of our holiness, to live at peace and be holy. But I'll show you another scripture. Go with me to 1 John 4, verses 7 through 10. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and does what? Knows God. You're working with, you know God. But here's what it says. He that loveth not. Anybody who doesn't have love, you can automatically look at them and say, you don't know God. Oh, yeah, I do. I've asked Him to forgive. Well, you may have asked Him to forgive you. You may have talked about Him. You may have heard a Sunday school lesson about Him. But let me tell you something. If love is not part of your character, you don't know Him. Now, that's not me. Don't go off. Pastor Lott said, he that loveth not, knoweth not. Tell him John said it. He doesn't know God. He just doesn't know God. It's part of the criteria. For God to flow through you, you've got to be holy. And then you've got to be loving. You've got to have a heart like God has. Number three, you must be a persistent person. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 7 through 9. Because see, when you start loving people and you start caring for people and you decide I'm going to live holy, it can get on your skin. It can start to bother you the way other people will treat you because you've been good to them and they treat you like dirt, or they said things about you and you hadn't said nothing about them. It can start to bother you. So the third quality is God says I got to have people who are consistent. But we have this treasure in what? Earthen vessels. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. What's your attitude toward life? Do you enjoy living life? Or do you complain about life? I got all kind of problems. Yes, you do. I got all kind of people. Yes, you do. But do you have the answer for every one of those? Do you say, I'm persecuted, Brother Lot, but don't worry, I'm not forsaken? Can you say, sometimes I'm cast down? I mean, people say things and they hurt my feelings, but you know what? I'm not destroyed. Do you have the ability to be consistent? Most people can't be consistent in their marriage, in raising their kids. Most people can't be consistent on just about very few things. And God is calling us to say, it's great that you're holy. It's great that you love people. But I need you to be consistent. Here's what the Apostle Paul says in Acts 20 and 24. He says, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I might finish my course with joy. I like that. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Here's a man who's been shipwrecked. Here's a man who's been imprisoned. He's been beaten with rods. He's been stoned. I mean, he's gone through enormous problems. His body is fighting against him. They talk about his eyesight going bad. I mean, you would look at him and think, boy, if God's good, he ain't good to that dude. And yet Paul would look at you and he says, none of these things move me. None of them move me. Neither count I my life. Even in the moment when God says, Paul, it's time to come home, that's okay with me. Why, Paul? Because I have determined that I am going to finish my course with joy. I'm going to be happy. Look at the person beside you and say, can you stand to be happy? Just go ahead and look at them and say, you need to let your face know it. If you can stand to be happy, you need to let your face know it.
I'm happy.
You need to work on the mindset that I'm going to finish my course with joy, with happiness. I'm going to finish this thing, and I'm not just going to barely get by. I'm going to do it with joy. Number four is this. You've got to be a believing people. You've got to be a believing people. Go with me to Romans 14, verse 23. Romans 14, verse 23. And he that doubteth is damned if he eats, because he eateth not in faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is what? Is sin. Whatever's not of faith is sin. You can chew bubble gum and be sinning. You know that? You can know that, well, bubble gum rots my teeth and God doesn't want me to rot my teeth and it's really wrong for me to chew bubble gum, but I'm going to chew bubble gum anyway. It's sin. Or you can be like me. I don't matter what enters me. It's all coming out anyway. So I'm just going to eat and enjoy and live life and not worry about it. It's what comes out of my mouth that defiles me, not what enters in. But he says, listen, here's what you got to understand. If God has put something in your life, I remember when Nathan was very young and God laid it on his heart. While he was in kids' church, God just laid it on his heart, Nathan, you don't need to be eating candy. You don't need to eat candy. You know, my son went almost a whole year. We would have candy and we would have different things and different. And I thought, that has to be pretty cool. That God could speak to a kid and say, no candy. He can speak to us on anything and we fuss with him for 4 years. He can tell a kid, don't do that. And for a whole year until God gave him peace about it, no. But here's the thing. God is looking for somebody who can operate in faith. Here's what Hebrews 11 and 6 says. You don't have to go there. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You've got to believe. Number five. If God is looking around, what kind of people is He looking for? Number five is this. He's looking for a visionary people. He's looking for a visionary people. Colossians 3 and 2 says it this way. Set your affection on things above, not on the things. The last few weeks I had to go in from time to time to see Miss Linda. And I want to see Miss Linda healed, and I want to see God raise her back up and give her all the strength. But let me tell you the hardest part for me. It's that. The hardest part for me is that right there. To set my affections on the things what? Above. And not the things on the... What do we know? What, when we ask for things we want, what are we normally asking for? Lord, I wish You'd help me. This old knee hurting. Just give me more. God, I just wish You'd help this. And God, I wish You'd bless that. And Lord, I wish You... And God says, you want to live a miserable life? Set all your affections on the things of the earth. And if somebody dies, it's going to break your heart. If somebody gets sick, it's going to break your heart. If your house burns down, it's going to break your heart. If your car breaks down, it's going to break your heart. If your tire goes flat, it's going to break. Before long, you know what you live with? A broken heart. When I see people all the time that when they think about church and they think about that, you know why they can't get church right in their head? It's because they're so broken already with all the stuff that isn't right and all the stuff that does and how much everything costs and this is too much and I ain't got money for this and I ain't got... And your whole life is broken. God says, set your affections on the things above. When I can get my mind right, then I can walk in and see Miss Linda. And I can say, hey, I believe in God's going to bring you up. I believe God's going to heal you. But you know what? I've done come to this conclusion. We are going to win no matter what God decides to do. Amen. There's not one thing going to happen to you or in this situation that's going to break my heart. There's some things that may make me cry, and there's some things that maybe go against maybe how I wish it would work out. But here's the key. Not one thing is going to break my heart. Because God controls it all. I set my affections on the things above and not the things down here. Let me give it to you in one more scripture. Go with me to Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, and I'm through. I'll let you go. It's time to go to Sunday school. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us do what? Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And then let us run with patience the race that is set before us. See, what we do most of the time is we try to run with that refrigerator on our back. We're trying to run with all our cares, and we're trying to run with all of our... And God says, you can't do that. I didn't even ask you to do that. What I asked you to do was first lay aside. Yeah, but I got all this. Lay it aside. Well, Brother Lott, I don't know how this is. Lay it aside. Yeah, but if I let it go, Lord knows what will happen. That's right. Lord knows what will happen. If you let it go, Lord knows what will happen. But the Lord don't know what's going to happen right now because you got it. And when you got a hold of it, what does He do? Good luck with that. But if you decide, God, I'm throwing that on You and I'm going to run. I'm throwing that on You and I'm going to run. It'd be a scenario like this. If somebody said, okay, Brother Lott, you want to go running today? Shoot, yeah. Right after church, we'll go running. And you come out after church, and you're all sitting there, and you've got your tennis shoes and stuff on, and I walk out like this. I said, let's go. Brother Lott,
You don't need to change?
No.
All we're doing is running, right?
Yeah, but Brother Lloyd, you run in them dress shoes, and I'm telling you, in about a quarter mile, your feet are going to be killing you. See, most of us have enough sense to know to lay aside whatever's causing us a problem. How come in life we don't see it that simply? You're going to have to run for 20 years. 20 years? 20 years you're going to have to run. What do you think you might have to let go of to make it 20 years? You're going to have to run for the rest of your life. What do you think you might not want to tote with you that whole way? Setting aside all the weights, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the Father. Jesus said about Himself, He says, and we use this as a sad thing. I never understood this. Jesus did not mean this sad. He meant this as a statement. When they came to Him and said, well, Lord, I'm going to come follow You, but I've got to do this, and I've got to go sell some land, and I've got to, as soon as I get all this, I'm going to do it. And Jesus looked at the guy and said this. He said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. And we look at that like, boy, poor Jesus. He laid His head on a rock at night. He's not saying that. He's saying foxes spend all their time digging burrows. Birds fly around all day picking up pieces of paper, doing this to build them a nest. The Son of Man has not spent 1 minute, not 1 day, not 1 year, taking care of Himself. The Son of Man, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, who for the joy that was set before Him cast off all the weight and ran His race. Imagine what life would be if you cast off every bit of weight, all the people you think you're responsible for, all the stuff you think you got to have. You cast off all the weight. You say, Brother Lloyd, I got to work. Yeah, but you don't have to worry about where that job's going. You can just say, the Lord gave me a job this week. He gave me enough to buy groceries, and you know what? I'm finished with that. Casting off all my weight, I run my race. Can I tell you something? God is looking in this place today. And His eyes go to and fro, and He's not trying to find out whether you've been naughty or nice. God is looking for somebody that He can show Himself strong through. And He says, if I try to do it through you, you got too much stuff. If I try to do it through you, you're not consistent. If I try to do it through you, Lord, your attitude, the way you don't love people, and my goodness, you'd run off everybody I send to you. But if you can rise to the occasion, I've promised you. Here's a promise. This is not just God might. I will show Myself strong through those who will do it. One scripture that sums it all up is this. Anyone who loses his life will find it. But anybody who tries to find his life will lose it. When you leave here today, what are you going to do? You're going to spend all your energy looking for life or losing it? I chose a long time ago to just lose it. I chose to give it away. I don't have an agenda. I don't have a purpose. I don't have a new house that I'm trying to get to. I'm thankful for what I have, and because of that, I've had more blessings than most people deserve. But it's not because I wanted them, it's just because I didn't want them.
I can't explain that life to you. I have more friends because I don't look for friends. I have the greatest wife in the world because I didn't pursue a wife. Everything in my life, I owe to God because I didn't pursue it. I just died. Asa couldn't die, so he died. I wonder a lot of times what Asa could have been as a king. He was an incredible man. But he just stopped trusting God. I hope you don't do that. Will you pray with me? Father, Lord, thank you this morning for how you met people earlier in your altars and the people you touched. Father, I thank you for the deliverance and the freedom that you gave people this morning. But God, my next goal for their life is that blessings would flow out of them. That blessings would flow from their jobs, from their marriage, from their kids, from everything they put their hands to. God, there's a criteria that you're looking for. There's a quality of man and woman that you're wanting to see. Lord, I hope that you see it in me. I hope that you see someone who is holy. I hope you see someone who is persistent. I hope you see someone who is loving. I hope you look down, God, and you see some believing person. A person of faith. A person who trusts what you've said. And I hope that you see someone with vision. Father, I thank you for all the victories so far. And I praise you for the victories yet to come. Let me stay usable. Don't let me become like Asa. Don't let me turn from you and trust something else. Let me always run to you in my time of need. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.